Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday night blessing together. And I am thrilled to be here. We missed last Sunday. I was coming home from a time on the road at a meeting in Rainier, Oregon. A great weekend. We're back here on our Sunday night spot. Tonight, we're going to talk about little children. Unless we become as little children. Well, before we do, if you're new to our Sunday night blessing group, subscribe to our YouTube and you'll know when we're coming on again. Or if you're on Facebook, give us a thumbs up and become a friend, and we will enjoy the journey together on these brief times that we do have together on Sunday night and during the morning sessions of 5 days a week. So, unless you become like little children. I have three grown adult children. Not too long ago, it seems, they were young babies and children. And when I had them in the church and in my family, my sermons were filled with illustrations. Well, that's been a while. And they got to the place where, after a while, they said, "Dad, don't use us in illustrations." You know, in their teenage years, they didn't want me to do it anymore. Now I've got grandkids, I can do it. And I'm reminded again of the scripture in Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 3rd verse. I want to spend a little time there tonight on this simplicity of walking with Christ in the kingdom of God. Now, I've been born again a long time and have been through a lot of different seasons and growth spurts and times where I wondered if I was even connected because of the emotional challenges you have with your faith and your fears and growth and activity, especially if you're trained in the early days that you are who you're important because you're doing something important. And you're a real Christian if you've got a lot of fruit to show, like a big church or a mass amount of souls or healings, books. Radio broadcast in those days didn't have tapes, but eventually they did. And in the early days, yeah, had a record, a singing record, or you could play the piano, or you could, do all those things. It took us a while. It took me a while to realize that my value was not in what I did, but in my relationship with God. And the fact that it was Christ and my relationship with him that made me who I was. And it's not what I thought of myself. It was what he had said about me and what his thoughts are and were toward me. Well, this whole thing about little children then with my grandkids, I have had my wife and I, of course, I sound like I'm doing it all myself. My wife and I have had six grandkids, and this month we have our 7th. So they're all small. I'm sitting with my 4-year-old just a day or two ago, and he comes up with the wildest imaginations and stories. When I come in or when he comes into our house, he wants to play. "Come on, Grandpa, play with me." Well, I'm conscious of the fact that these days don't last long, and I want to have a interchange, so I get down the floor, and he gives me a car or a truck, and he has one. But we've got to name them. So my car has a name and his car, and then we have a story that's unfolding. And we chase somebody, or we rescue somebody, or we go here, we go there. And I'm thinking this week as I'm listening to him about the ability for children to think out of the box and to have imaginations beyond imagination. How about that for a double positive? To imagine things that as you get older, you just don't even consider. They can dream and think and plan and play. And when they're together with their other cousins or small children, they can have fantasies and play in dress up style where they have costumes and all kinds of stuff. So the scriptures tell us, unless we become converted and become as little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's an amazing thought, to become like a little child. Most churches and a lot of spiritual leaders discount children to a great extent because, number one, they're not able to work in the church. They can't give. And this is not a statement about every church in every place, but they do, because children are just put in a nursery or in a children's ministry or a babysitting service. In some cases, especially in the last 20 years or 30 years, since the invention of the seeker-friendly church, no children were even allowed in the building. I go to a church, and there's no children there. They're all in another room. Now, that's not to say that they're not having high grade and wonderful teaching on their level. That's important. So that's not the discussion today. The discussion I want to have is the simplicity of serving the Lord as a child. What happens is that when we come into Christ and come into Christianity, they want to teach our brain instead of our spirit. Our brain holds all the memory and all the reams of knowledge about theology, about the church, about history, and especially about our church and what we believe and how it fits into the scheme and to the plan that God has for the world. Because obviously we want to be important and and be among the chosen. I told you one time about a church out on the edge of our town that had a sign out front, "Gateway to Heaven." Well, I knew what they meant, that Jesus is, and if you get saved, you'll go to heaven, and we can help you do that. But it seemed a little out of place on this little ramshackle building. It was white at one time before 17 winters came along, but it said Gateway to Heaven. All right. Now, that's good. We'll forget that story. Little children, unless you become converted and become as a little child. Believing in God takes not a complicated mind, but a simplistic, childlike approach that you can open your heart and see and believe what you're hearing. That a God you can't see has given us his son, who we know is a historical man, but the fact that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, doesn't take human imagination, but on the imagination of that childlike heart, God puts the picture and God puts the imprint of the truth. I don't believe you can receive Christ in the mind. It has to come to the heart. And then from the heart teaches the mind. If the mind receives, it's like the professor in the university that is reading the Bible as a historic book or a poetry book or a fable, disbelieving most of it, obviously, because they discount it as a fable, but they read it through their mind. So if you read, if you receive the gospel and try to come into the kingdom of God by education, by educating yourself with theology and all the church doctrines, and have not received it in your heart, you say, "Preacher, what do you mean receiving it in your heart?" We receive God long before we understand much about it. We receive Jesus long before we understand the ongoing revelation of who he is, not just who he was. We're not being saved and connected to the man Christ Jesus. He was a historical person who God and man were merged, yes, but we're not just to celebrate what he did on the shores of Galilee, healing the sick and raising the dead, feeding the 5,000. We are connected to the risen Christ who is seated in heavenly places. So when I receive Christ, it's in the heart. Scripture says, as a man believeth in his heart, so is he. As he believes and receives in his heart. If Romans 10:9-10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So how do you believe in your heart? How do you believe? And it's not the heart that pumps blood. Now that has a place in us. It certainly keeps us alive, and it has electrons and all kinds of energy that's going out. They can measure that. It goes out in some cases to several feet around us. They can feel the radiation of our energies. So the heart has a part of our life's source, but it's the spirit in you that is called the heart of a man, the center of the person. And there's something that leaps open and opens up to the gospel like a little child. So with that in mind, let me take you just in a couple of steps here. He says we can't enter the kingdom without becoming like a little child. And in this posture, we become humble. We humble ourselves. And when we do, he said he would make us great. Now, children, they'll squabble and they forgive quickly. They'll have misunderstandings. Someone will take their lollipop or kick sand on them in the playground or take their swing away. And it's not too long. They're back, good pals again, because they forgive easy and they forgive quickly. They don't hold grudges. They don't remember, you know, all the bad things another kid does to them, unless he keeps doing it. And then, you know, after a while, it's permanent. But generally, in most cases, children are humble and they forgive easily. So now here's an interesting one. When you become like a little child, there's a special protection over you. Now, the humble, and yet the one who knows that has had an experience of heartfelt receiving Christ, unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Same thing, just different chapters, different writers of different gospels. Now, truly I say to you, unless you receive change, turn about and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving. Lowly, this amplified, lowly, loving, forgiving. That's that little child. You come in. Amen. Whoever humbles themselves, therefore, and becomes trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, as a little child, is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's intriguing. That's drawing me into a desire to be in that position. Greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Wait a minute. What about all of our great, you know, great heroes of faith and people that have won thousands and millions to the Lord? I pulled out a picture of Reinhard Bonnke just last night in some of my archives, and a triple spread opened up before me. Picture of a massive congregation of African people in one crusade, upwards to 1 million in some cases. It's unimaginable, the crowds that Reinhard Bonnke. Now, is he the greatest? If he's like a little child, yes. That's not to say you can't have childlike approach and faith and lowliness and not be physically and, you know, where people see great things, but it's you and I in our walk together. We're not winning Africa to the Lord, and we're not, you know, impressing our neighbors all that much. We're just loving the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our souls, and our neighbors ourselves. Obviously, that was the two commandments. But if we come as a little child with lowly, loving, and forgiving, those three things in the Amplified, he said that we would become the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, flip that greatest thing back to John the Baptist. He was the greatest one in the Old Testament. But you and I now come into the New Testament, and we now are greater than John the Baptist. But here in this verse, it says it's the one who comes as a little child that is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Okay. So we're saved, we're born again, we got our assurance of heaven. Now what do we do? How do we serve? How do we move forward? What do we do from now on? We stay in a childlike approach to God, not in a carnal, you know, children squabbling, fighting with each other, you know, teenagers, but mature men and women, obviously, where we understand maturity, but it's a childlike approach to the kingdom of God. When your knees hit the floor, or if you're sitting and meditating, or laying out and before the Lord, you know, in a meditation, however you approach the Lord, come as a little child. Come with the lowly, humble, trusting, loving, forgiving. Amen. And I tell you, when that begins, when you do that, you will have the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit to check things out. Holy Spirit is really faithful. When you approach the throne of God, the censers are out. Is he coming like the old, like the fella in the New Testament that stood in the front of the altar and boasted, I pay tithe of all that I get. I pray so many times a day. And the sinner on the back row said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He came as a child and humble. And Jesus said, that man on the back row goes home justified. Not the guy that's bragging about all of his wonderful deeds that he's done, all the money he's given to the church, or all the, you know, the great sermons he's preached, or whatever spiritual work, even good spiritual work, doesn't pay for our ticket into the kingdom of heaven. Faith in Christ. Come as a child, lowly, humble, forgiving, trusting. And then there's a special protection. Look at this. And whoever receives and accepts and welcomes one little child like this for my sake and in my name receives and accepts and welcomes me. Whoa, I like that. Now we interchange and have relationships, don't we? We come and go out of each other's lives. What an opportunity as we receive one another in that position of that little child's simplicity and humility and lowliness and the humble spirit and a forgiving spirit. We're receiving Christ into our home. Ha! That's incredible. Sister Sue comes over. Brother Ben comes along. They come to the front door, and there's Jesus just about ready to walk in because they have the spirit of a child, the humble, faithful walk of the spirit of a child. Amen. Now, you can be loud and boisterous on the outside, but it's the heart that makes the difference, isn't it? It's the voice or the nature of the spirit of the heart. Now, look at this here. Verse 6, Matthew 18. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in and acknowledges and cleaves to me to stumble and sin, this one who entices him or hinders him in any in right conduct or thought, it would be better, more profitable for him to have a great millstone fast around his neck and be cast into the sea. Protection. You say, why doesn't God protect all children physically? There's a crisis of child abuse everywhere you go. And those are things that we pray about and intercede for, and in some cases are active trying to rescue. Some wonderful ministries and peoples of the world are actually working at rescuing children. But God has a special vengeance against those who harm children. And that has to do with the physical as well as the spiritual side. Well, I encourage you today on our Sunday night gathering to enter in now. So, next step, what do we do now? I present before you a door you've never entered. You say, wait a minute now, you don't know me. That's okay. Whatever door you've entered, there's another one. No matter what, how many doors you've entered, there's another door you haven't entered yet. For some, it may be a strange thought to enter a door in the spirit where you actually see it and know that you're going into a new room. This is what meditation is. This is why you need to quiet yourself down and listen to the Lord. Don't just burst in and say, Lord, I got my shopping list here. I got to get it quick because I'm late for work. But those quiet times when you come as a little child, humble yourself before the Lord and listen. If you'll do that, a door will be open. You'll open a new door and go into a new relationship. You'll hear things you've never heard. You'll see things you've never seen. And you'll have revelation beyond the pages of the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not doing away with the Bible and we're not changing, words. But those words you read there without the spirit of interpretation or revelation or insight are just words and stories and history and poetry. But when you read and see the book through the eyes of a child, you'll begin to see Christ. He'll come out of those pages into your lifestyle, into your spirit, into your heart, into your mind and imagination. And you can sit and have fellowship and communion and share a cup with Jesus every day of your life. If you'll come as a child and let your imagination and your faith blend together, you can step into rooms you've never been into before. And those rooms are filled with treasures. Those rooms are filled with insight and revelation and knowledge. You'll begin to be introduced to angels that are in your life now, but you've never seen or heard them, or even knew they were there at some times. Come as a little child. Amen. I've often said, little children, when they come from the Father, those first few years especially are very close to God. They can have angel visitations in the room. They can see in the spirit. And they come out of the bedroom and say, well, Mom, what were you doing in there, Johnny? Oh, I was talking to Jesus, or I was talking to an angel. And Mom and Dad say, oh, quit imagining that. Come on, just stop it. After 4 or 5 years, we've kind of driven it, you know, beat it out of them in some sense, you know, by putting it down or making fun of it or just ignoring it. But that little child sees in the spirit because they've just come from the Father. So stay in that position of seeing in the spirit, hearing the Lord, the Father's voice, and knowing that you have a place at the table all the time. Amen. That's something. Well, I'm glad we got together on Sunday night. Sunday night is a super time to be spiritual and to get together. Thank you for your attention to some of the things that help us. Subscribe, send us a comment, let us know who you are, and what's going on in your life. I think it's important that we kind of connect. Let me know a little bit about you, and then I can pray for you better, differently. Also, if you have been nudged by the Lord to send us a gift, we receive that, put it into the gas tank, and go on down the road. Amen. Amen. It's going to be a glorious week. And in this week, I'm expecting, well, we're heading into a new season of our nation, a new season of our church, a whole new world of spiritual breakthrough. Around the world, there are miracles happening, and there are souls being won. Some of our nations of the world are having supernatural revivals. China is having multitudes of people saved. Iran is having one of the biggest revivals of history as far as people coming to Christ. A friend of mine, Harold Eberle, says that he goes in and out of Pakistan all the time, and he says there's 500,000 Muslims a month in the region of the Middle East coming to Christ. Let's be encouraged. Amen. Let's be encouraged. Let's see what God has in store for us. Amen. Well, until tomorrow morning early, we'll see you then, and then come again next Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and we'll be ready to talk about the good things of the Lord. God bless you.